This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, there's two rules. Whether it's fair or not, if you're an athlete or a coach, it's always dangerous to go after the media and always dangerous to go after the fans. Doesn't mean you can't. Doesn't mean you wouldn't be right to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It just means we all know it's dangerous to take on the media and to take on fans.
But why
More
would you,
so fans.
But why would you blame the fans, though?
Well, that's the thing here. So Joel Embiid, yesterday, after the loss to the New York Knicks, 97-92, the Knicks take a 3-1, commanding 3-1 lead against the Philadelphia 76ers, who had chances to win two of the four games that they have played in so far, two additional games, I should say, and they lost both of them, goes after the fans yesterday, and that he was disappointed that it was basically a Knicks home game. Can we take a step back for a second and try to understand how something like this happens? This just means what? That the fans go on Vivid Seats and they buy up any ticket that's available and Knicks fans just travel there? I mean, I guess small as the Sixers fans are just like, ah, whatever, we don't love our team this year, we're just going to sell our tickets. I guess it's a business opportunity for many of these people.
Yeah, in this economy, Evan, they're probably looking at this team saying, I don't think that they're going to win this, so why don't I just flip this ticket for some extra cash? And they don't know that it's a Knicks fan on the other end of it. But I do think if you're Philadelphia, that is pretty embarrassing, though, to see the way Knicks fans infiltrated their arena, the noise that they made, the chants that were happening. I know it's easy when you're not totally enchanted with your team currently and you can make some money. But Philadelphia is such a great sports town. That really surprised me.
Those tickets were going for like $300 to $400. So I don't blame anyone. Make that money.
So when are we going to start giving credit to my Knicks?
Oh, we'll get there. You know, pipe down. We'll get there. But I guess my whole point is, if you're Joel Embiid, give the fans something to cheer for. I mean, you had 1 point. 1 point in the fourth quarter. 0 for 5 from the field. If you don't like the way the game ended, if you don't like hearing the Knicks fans chant MVP for Jalen Brunson, then damn it, take over the game.
Well, that's fourth what you quarter, do. Right? I mean, you look at the series, 0 for 5 in game 1, 2 for 6 in game 2, 1 for 2 in game 3, 0 for 5 in game 4, 3 of 18 in the fourth quarter for Embiid.
Yeah.
Why do we think that is? He's just exhausted.
He's out of shape.
Yeah,
he's tired.
I think he's just wilting.
He's tired. But here's the thing, though. It's the playoffs. I don't give a damn that you're tired. Find a way to push yourself through being tired. Find a way to make better basketball plays down the stretch. Like, go ahead and take the mid-range jumper instead of trying to pump fake and drive to the basket in hopes of the refs bailing you out. Like, those are the types of things that you have control over. But here's the thing. Being exhausted does not excuse away the empty possessions that Monica McNutt and others have talked about on this show this morning in the third quarter. There was a 3-minute stretch in the middle of the third quarter when the Sixers had a 7-point lead where they got nothing out of 8 straight possessions. That is absolutely ridiculous. Not a field goal in 8 straight possessions. Turnovers, terrible shots, those types of things can't happen. You could have asserted yourselves. You could have pushed it to a double-digit lead. You could have made sure that the game was out of reach for Jalen Brunson's heroics, but you didn't. You let the Knicks hang around. And it came back and bit you in the ass. So, Embiid, I understand you're disappointed about what happened yesterday on your home court, but don't blame the Sixers fans for that. That's on y'all, bro.
So, Smalls and I can't really do this the way you can, although Smalls has run half marathons, so maybe you can. I'll give you tons of credit on that, Smalls. The idea that you just said, I don't care, it's the playoffs, and you're tired, you got to play through that.
Yeah.
I think non-professional athletes, I don't think I can say that. You can. Explain what that actually means, because you've been there where you've been exhausted and you probably feel like literally I'm about to, God forbid, die, and you have to play an entire fourth quarter. What is that actually like?
Ev, I mean, listen, you're talking to somebody that played with a hole in their knee and a detached retina in the Super Bowl. It's the playoffs. I don't like this is what it is. This is why you play these games. Bill Parcells said it all the time. It's why you lift all those damn weights. It's why you run all those wind sprints. It's why you do all of the things to take care of your body throughout the rest of the calendar year for this 2 months. That's what you do it for. If you can't summon something within you to push past whatever pain, whatever exhaustion you're dealing with, then it sounds like you got a motivator cuff issue. Sounds like you need to go see the Wizard of Oz. Join the Tin Man. See if you can find a heart. Like that's what it comes down to. Hey, bro. It's the playoffs. Like, don't sit here and blame the fans for the environment. You could have taken the Knicks fans out of that game in the third quarter, but you didn't. You could have taken the Knicks fans out of it by taking over in the fourth quarter, but you didn't. Now, you could blame your teammates for that too, because they played a role in it. I mean, Buddy Hield, you can't even play him anymore. Nicholas Batum, what are you doing letting Josh Hart block a dunk at the rim? Like, that can't happen. Tobias Harris for $40 million? Yeah, safe to say you're not getting a return on that investment. There's plenty bad going on with the Philadelphia 76ers. It ain't got a whole lot to do with the people that are sitting in the seats. It's the guys that are playing on the court.
But just like Joel Embiid is wilting as the game goes on, does it feel like this whole 76ers experiment with Joel Embiid and the trust the process, doesn't it feel like it's wilting on the vine too? I kind of don't blame the fans in a way if you want to make the money, because I think about how much 76ers fans have endured, how long that they've been patient, and how long they have trusted the organization, trusted the process, and trusted, frankly, Joel Embiid. And time again, they're left disappointed. At some point, as a fan, you're saying, I'm not going to put myself through this anymore, and if I can make some money on the other end of this, I'm going to do it. But I just look at the way the 76ers are now, and even though there's a lot of talent there, do we really think that they're a team that is going to break through? Do we really think, as currently constructed, that it's a team that can stay healthy consistently and actually win an NBA title? I would like to say yes, but it hasn't happened. And it continuously ends in disappointment a lot of times because Joel Embiid is not available.
If you just use past performance as an indicator of future performance, Smalls, to answer that question, a Daryl Morey-led team will be good but not good enough and be a walking press conference, as it always is. There's always drama. There's always some sort of drama with the Daryl Morey-led team. And a Joel Embiid-led team, which is the same team, by the way, in this case, will also be good but not good enough. There is no indication that these two combined will bring Philadelphia a title. There's none. And I just think, I'm not trying to take shots at Embiid because I would take him on my team any day of the week. Very simply, I think time has run out for both parties here. I think it's over.
Well, that's why I disagree with you. I don't know that time is completely run out on Embiid. I think this is year one of Nick Nurse. So let's give it another year. And oh, by the way, let's hope that our superstar center is not missing 2 months of the season because he had a meniscus injury that led to a surgery. All right, they're in this position because they're going up against the 2 seed in the playoffs. If Embiid didn't miss 2 months of the season, presumably they'd be a higher ranked seed. They'd have an easier draw in the first round of the playoffs. So there might be that as well. You look at all of the expiring contracts that they have, they'll have a chance to dramatically reshape what this roster looks like and bring in more complementary players to go around Maxey and Embiid. So I think that's a part of the math as well. So I'm not going to pull the plug on this because I do think you owe it to yourselves to give it more time with your new head coach. But then also just thinking about the return on investment that you would get if you did decide to trade Embiid, you know it's not going to be dollar for dollar because of the injury history. So I just think for a lot of reasons, it makes sense for them to run it back and see what they could be in 2025. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say they don't need to have urgency about trying to push forward and get to the championship rounds of the playoffs, but I don't think you bungee on Joel Embiid based on what's happening this playoffs.
Okay, you just said something, though, and Nuno wants credit for his Knicks here, okay? You just said, you know, you are a 7 seed because of the injuries, which is true, and you're going up against a 2 seed that theoretically should win. That 2 seed is without their starting power forward and all-star Julius Randle, and Knicks fans can't have it both ways. They hate him, and now when they want to use it to their advantage, they use it to their advantage. They're without yesterday, in essence, their starting center, Mitchell Robinson. Their backup center, who's become their starter, Isaiah Hartenstein, has 5 fouls in the third quarter of the game.
Yeah.
This is a 2 seed.
And no Bogdanović
who got hurt during the course of the game. This is a 2 seed that is playing like a 1 seed, but is actually built like a 4 seed based on what's left, right?
And that's the part that is absolutely maddening about it, which is why your criticism of the process is valid. Like, this is a culture of losing that is permeated throughout that building, and they're having the damnedest time trying to overcome it. Like, just watching the hustle plays, the game, the 50-50 balls.
You can't even compare anybody
like
to the Knicks.
It's not even close. Yeah. Like, I was just sitting there. Josh Hart didn't make a field goal yesterday, but his impact on the game was undeniable. The guy had 17 rebounds. I mean, five of those rebounds were offensive rebounds. He had five assists and three block shots.
And he's 6'5".
But that's
if
my,
that.
But that's my point, though. Like, you saw that with OG Anunoby. Like, just the hustle plays, the tap backs, like, that lead to opportunities for those dagger threes on those second-chance points. There was a double-digit advantage that they had on second-chance points. The Knicks had 21 points off of second chances yesterday. I mean, they out-rebounded the Sixers by double digits. I mean, they had double-digit advantage in points in the paint. Those are the types of things that allow the Knicks to overcome the talent deficiency, and you have to wonder why the Philadelphia 76ers can't find some of that, knowing that when it comes to, you know, the top three players in this series, two of them are with Philly. Like, that is the wildest part to me, to think about it. The top three players in this series, two of them are on the 76ers, and yet you're talking about them being down 3-1 and probably getting bounced in a gentleman's sweep early this week.
Joel Embiid is listed at 7 foot, 280 pounds. He was guarded by guys yesterday in OG Anunoby and Precious Achiuwa late in the game that maxed are 6 foot eight, and he did not get near the basket. Just would not play in the because he physically could not do it because of injury, because of being out of shape, whatever it may be. It's unbelievably disappointing what has happened with Philadelphia. Smalls, I want to go back to one thing before we get to all the small things coming up. The fan aspect. You brought up a very interesting point, and I'm trying to put it in my head now of what I would do. If I had season tickets to the Sixers and Pat's number by way of Vivid Seats is $300, $400 a ticket, am I selling that in the playoffs or am I going to a playoff game? I mean, you're in St. Louis today. I can't imagine your fans in St. Louis for a big Cardinals playoff game, and the Cardinals fans are known as some of the best fans in the world, would ever sell their tickets for a playoff game. But that's what happened yesterday in Philly.
It happened in 2019 in the NLCS.
It did?
Cardinals Nationals. I was there, and a lot of fans felt like that team, despite being in the CS, was not good enough. And say what you want, Cardinals fans are certainly some of the best fans around, definitely the best fans in baseball, in my humble opinion. But they make their displeasure to ownership known, and they do that with their vote. And their vote, the only way you can do that is by spending your money. And there was a lot of seats that were empty. Not a lot, but more than you would ever see in any Cardinals postseason game. But they basically were saying, we don't think this team is good enough, even though they're in this position in the postseason. You didn't do enough, and we're going to let you know it. And I think that fans have every right to do that. And if I'm a Philadelphia fan, like I said, it was shocking for me to see because Philly is such a passionate and great sports town. But I can understand their frustration. I can understand that they are fed up, that time has run out. You only get so much of a runway when you say trust the process. How long do you want me to trust? Forever? What's the expiration date on this? And like I said, in this economy, if I can make some extra money, I'd probably do it too.
Coming up, all the
small things.
Next,
get an OnlyFans for the Sixers.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man, and I can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast. They're up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or a bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Just head on over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Bing bong indeed. Shout out to Nuno's New York Knicks. He thinks we're not giving the Knicks enough credit today. Bing bong for the Knicks. It is time for all the small things, just some things I loved in the world of sports over the weekend. I am Michelle Smallman, alongside Super Bowl champion Chris Candy and Evan Cohen. Evan, I think we need a little preface for you, too. I don't know what it is. You can marinate on that one. But I always say Super Bowl champion Chris Canty because he deserves that. It's like winning an Oscar. You always say that before someone's name once they achieve that. But then I feel bad that I just say, and Evan Cohen.
Well, you don't have a preface.
Well, yeah, but I don't need one.
Well, why do I need one? I don't need a preface.
I don't know. You've been in this business a long time.
We can call him the hoodie. The hoodie, Evan Cohen.
The hoodie? Well, that's hoodie, Belichick, though.
Favorite, yeah, that's what I'm saying. His favorite coach, the hoodie.
The hoodie.
It's a part of his uniform.
The Judy. People the have tweeted me that at Upco Radio. Judy, jacket, hoodie.
No. I don't like the Judy. I think we're doing too much with that one. Just call him the hoodie. The hoodie Evan Cohen.
Okay. Evan, are you down?
Not there yet, but let me marinate on that.
Okay. I thought you'd jump on that because you want to be connected to Belichick in any way.
I've been thinking about not wearing a hoodie this week, so I know that puts me in a weird spot.
Oh, no, you can't do that now. Okay. You have to stay committed. I mean, all I don't care if it's 90 degrees outside. We need you with a hoodie and a jacket.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of agree. If we see that bottom part of your neck, it might weird us out.
Yeah.
The bottom part of my neck. Okay.
Well, you know what I'm saying? We always see you.
You can't go Richard Jefferson, Chris Carlin. You can't do any of that.
Those two guys compared to each other. Richard Jefferson.
You know
and
what I mean. It's the look.
I know.
You know what I mean.
All right.
Yeah. We are a buttoned up show.
Well done.
Quite literally.
Guys, Bill Belichick not coaching in the NFL currently. Sorry, Ev. But you know who is? Jim Harbaugh. I want to shout out a lot of things from the draft. But first, let's hear it for Jim Harbaugh. His Michigan Wolverines absolutely repped at the draft this weekend after a 15-0 season that culminated in a national championship. His players obviously in high demand. A lot of us were speculating that Michigan would break Georgia's record of 15 players picked in a single NFL draft. That happened back in 2022. Close, but no cigar for Michigan. They still finished with a crazy, impressive 13 players drafted. And on the other side of that, I really love what Jim Harbaugh did in his first draft with the Chargers. Very Harbaugh-like picks, guys. You know this team is going to beat you in the trenches. They're going to be tough. They're going to be physical. They also added some really important picks at areas of need, wide receiver and cornerback. I just love how Jim Harbaugh hasn't even played one game yet. His team hasn't as the head coach of the Chargers. And we already know what the identity is that he's building. I'm just so pumped that Jim Harbaugh back in the NFL. It's great for us.
He also started singing the Michigan fight song after they drafted a Michigan player.
Yeah.
But
they got Junior Colson. Who else did they draft?
The Michigan, let me see here. The Chargers got a wide receiver, I want to say, in the seventh.
Cornelius Johnson.
Yes, thank you, Smalls. Johnson. And Brendan Rice. They got Jerry Rice's son in the draft as well. And Ladd McConkey from Georgia, who they traded up with New England, if I'm not mistaken, to get their
top pick of the second round.
So they get a weapon there for Justin Herbert. But Joe Alt is really the big one, I know, Smalls, that you're talking about there.
Yep.
And, of course, Harbaugh just being weird and awkward like he is, and I mean that complimentary. When Joe Alt and his dad, John Alt, were at the facility when they got there on Friday, in the middle of all of the conversations, he made them stand back-to-back to see who was taller. Just because he's Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Next one, Smalls.
You guys, have the Cowboys really gotten better? I know they added Zeke Elliott, but I look around their division, improvements all around. The Eagles have gotten better. Howie Roseman was super busy during the draft, wheeling and dealing, and this is after they locked up Quinyon Mitchell in round one, a cornerback, obviously an area of need for them. He made some really shrewd moves this draft and this offseason. The Commanders got better. They plugged holes on the defensive front, tight end, secondary, and the offensive line. You know I love that Johnny Newton pick, very solid at Illinois. I think he was a steal for them at 36. Oh, and by the way, they landed Jaden Daniels, who many believe is not only going to be their franchise quarterback, but who's in the best position to succeed in the NFL early on. They have good weapons there already. I just love what the Commanders are doing. The Giants got better. I love the Neighbors pick. And the Cowboys are still such a head scratcher to me, guys. They have the big contracts that they need to deal with and a draft that, while kind of solid, felt underwhelming comparatively to the other teams in the draft. They certainly improved the depth of their offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't feel like it's enough bang for this draft and this offseason, especially for a team that claims to be all in and who had an embarrassing playoff loss at home. It just feels like there isn't really a sense of urgency with the Dallas Cowboys while the rest of the division is getting better.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. Philadelphia always goes after big school guys. That's a trademark of Howie Roseman, and those are a lot of the names you know in the draft, right? The Dallas Cowboys don't necessarily do that, but they did address a lot of needs. Like you mentioned the offensive line, they drafted three offensive linemen, and I think two of those guys have a chance to be starters this upcoming season. So, I mean, they've done the things that you would needed to do, but when you address the meat and potatoes, it's not necessarily viewed as being able to have the splashy or the sexy draft. So I would push back on this weekend being a referendum on the Cowboys offseason. I think it's obviously fair to criticize what they've done in free agency or lack thereof, although I do like the move today by being able to re-sign Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I saw Ezekiel Elliott up close and personal last year as a Pats fan. I was very impressed with that guy. I know that's like an obvious statement, but for me, I saw things that I didn't know that he did, like the blocking, and he just was a great team player.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you hear about star running backs, like, oh, you know, drafted top five, makes a ton of money. He's got this off-season stuff with the whatever that incident was in New Orleans a few years ago, yeah. Which I'm not defending that. But this year in New England under Coach Belichick, he very much seemingly acted like a professional.
No doubt.
So I agree with you that is a good move. To answer the original question, Smalls, I mean, it is clear the Cowboys have not gotten better. Everyone around them has gotten better. I don't understand what the thought process is. I don't understand if this leads to a Dak Prescott trade. I don't know what's going on there. It's very confusing to me.
All right, well, let's wrap up with something positive. You know, I love something that makes me smile. So outside a friend of the show, Terrion Arnold, who I think is an absolute star on and off the field, I think Keon Coleman is my favorite pick, my favorite new member of the National Football League. The former Florida State wide receiver is going to be a star in Buffalo and beyond. He had one of the great pressers that we saw this weekend that involved him asking for snacks after his presser was over and raiding the snack table and talking about the best way to shop. Here's what it looked and sounded like.
Huh?
Got you a coat from here?
Nah, man, you forgot what the school in Michigan for 2 years? You, guess where I got this from, though.
Where you get it?
I'm saying you got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess.
Time is up.
Nah. Macy's. What you mean? they be on sale on the rack, all the colors.
Right. Exactly.
Look, $79, $89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little, I'll take you there, personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one.
Got you. I'm with you. It's
good Thanksgiving sales, too. That's what I usually do. See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I get, you see, I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You got to shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and they be cheaper. Because you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? Who we starting with?
Yeah.
Oh, we could go. Oh, my bad. Hold up. Y'all can hear me? This on or this off?
So you guys can see
All right, bro. Such
a personality on Keon Coleman talking about shopping at Macy's, the right time of year to buy a coat. And things had been tense between Josh Allen and wide receiver one Stephon Diggs when he was there. And I think that Keon Coleman is going to bring not only production to Buffalo, but some much needed levity and fun. He just seems like a really fun guy to have in the locker room.
I agree with his shopping thought process.
How can you disagree with
it? I know. Well, some people want to just buy in this season. I have no problem buying a bathing suit when it's snowing out. Simple as that. I like this guy. Very smart.
Oh, yeah. He ain't going to go broke now. That's one thing we know. He ain't going to go broke.
Very
that's
smart.
Right.
Very smart.
That type of mentality.
Well, we know yesterday, that was all the small things, by the way, with Michelle Smallman, who needs a preface as well, if I'm hoodie now. Yesterday, Vivid Seats was certainly hot with the Knicks fans in Philadelphia. As that was a hot ticket with Vivid Seats, as all the Knicks fans, CeCe, took over the arena in Philly.
Oh, yes. Score the seats and the memories this spring with Vivid Seats. Your home for every buzzer beater, every puck drop, and every home run. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. And with 100% buyer guarantee, Vivid Seats gives you peace of mind for the ultimate fan experience. Celebrate your fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So are you happy about this or no? That the Lakers are still alive?
Yeah, you did it, CeCe. Your team beat the Nuggets.
I said it would be a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. Now, I'm curious to see what happens with Jamal Murray and the calf injury.
That changes some things.
Changes okay. What? Changes what? They're still going to lose.
The T-Wolves chances?
They're still going to – I'm about to say, the Lakers are still going to lose this series. But it might change how long it takes the Nuggets to dispatch of them. But I don't think that it's going to go any further beyond game five. I think this is going to be – this was always destined to be a short series.
You know, Adrian Wojnarowski said something about a week ago. He said he expects there to be more player movement and more movement overall this summer than we've had in recent years. And when he said it, you always listen to it because it's Woj, and he's not going to speculate this early in the process. But as this continues, you saw the other night when the Lakers beat the Nuggets, LeBron went nuts on Darvin Ham for not reviewing a call. Like, literally, Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl with Andy Reid showing up your coach style, right? That's how crazy he went. Now, again, it's Travis Kelce and LeBron James. So you give them the benefit of the doubt because of their on-field greatness and their relationships with others. But today alone, we've talked about Joel Embiid, we've talked about Kevin Durant, we've talked about Devin Booker. We don't even need to talk about Giannis and Dame because we've been talking about that. Smalls, if the Lakers lose tonight with the Nuggets and it's closed out, enter the Lakers into that conversation tomorrow of off-season drama, LeBron's future, Darvin Ham's future, Anthony Davis's future. Like, we're almost there with that one, too.
Yeah, of course. Haven't we been talking about this, though? Haven't we been speculating it's not this season for the Lakers? It's next season because we didn't think that this team as currently constructed was a true finals competitor. Yes, a playoff team, but not a team that could really get over that hump, that doesn't have the chops to take what it needs to beat Denver or other teams consistently in the playoffs. But I absolutely think that LeBron James will be back. Everybody else, question mark. But they have a finite amount of time left with LeBron James, and they're going to try to capitalize on it.
Yeah, the Denver Nuggets are the reality check the Lakers need. Like, we can't waste time waiting for Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura and D'Angelo Russell to come around. Like, it's just it hasn't happened. We gave them last postseason. We're giving them the playoffs this year. It's not working. So they have to find other pieces to put around LeBron and AD. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. I'll leave that to the better minds that analyze basketball here at the company. But I will say this. What they're doing right now around LeBron and AD ain't good enough. Because those guys are playing great in this series. And it isn't equating to this team winning games. I mean, AD went for 25 and 23. I mean, that was impressive to watch on Saturday night. So, I mean, like, LeBron and AD are holding up their end of the bargain. It's the others that are inconsistent. And you're not going to win a championship, especially out of the Western Conference, when you got to deal with teams like Denver, like Minnesota, like OKC, if your role players are going to be as inconsistent as the Lakers' role players have been.
What kind of player are you looking for? Like, is there something that you're saying, okay, I wish we had this with the Lakers right now?
I wish we had Kyrie Irving. The way Kyrie Irving is playing? I mean, listen, there's a lot that you question down there in Dallas, but Kyrie Irving is an absolute monster. Like, he has been an animal. And it's looked like this the last couple of months. Now, I don't know that you get the same version of Kyrie once he gets what he wants, which is his preferred destination. But, I mean, I got to believe that if you pair him with LeBron James, then that protects the organization to some degree because you've seen Kyrie have success in that role alongside LeBron James once upon a time when they won a chip in Cleveland. So I like that. I don't know that it would happen. I don't know that the Lakers could facilitate that. But if you're asking me what I'm looking for in a wish list as a Lakers fan, I would love to see Kyrie Irving in L.A. next year.
So it's interesting because, and I can't believe I'm saying this, there's definitely a thought where you would sit back and say, why would the Mavericks trade Kyrie Irving? which I can't believe I'm actually uttering those words because I would never employ him if I owned a basketball team. That's sure. me. That doesn't mean someone else couldn't. But here's where it gets even more interesting, I think. What happens if the Mavs actually lose in the first round here, which is very possible? I'm not saying it's probable, but it's possible without Kawhi. Is it actually the perfect time to trade Kyrie and say, strike while the iron's hot, because his value is only actually going to get less. And even if we have these two guys together, we still can't get out of the first round. Now, the counter to that is, who do the Lakers have that the Mavs would want?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a combination of players and picks. I mean, the picks the Lakers would have, I think this summer, they would have three tradable first-round picks. So can you package that with the combination of Austin Reeves and, you know, Rui Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell? I don't know how you would do it, how you would cobble up a trade package together, whether you'd have to get a third team involved. Again, I leave that to the better minds that do that here at the company. But if you're asking me as a Lakers fan, what would it take for LeBron to win a championship in the twilight of his career, to get past a team like the Denver Nuggets, to get past the Minnesota Timberwolves, to get past the Oklahoma City Thunder? It would take a piece like that.
But you're mentally at the place where you're ready to have these offseason discussions. You're not even giving the Lakers a shot to force a game six tonight.
No. I was surprised they won on Saturday night. If it wasn't for Jamal Murray and a calf injury, I don't know that they do win. So, no, I didn't. No. No, you think the Lakers are going to come back in this series and win it?
Yeah.
No.
Evan, are you giving them a shot?
Yeah, to win tonight? Sure. Yeah, if Jamal Murray doesn't play? Of course.
No, I'm not saying win tonight. I'm talking about winning the series.
Winning the series is different, but could they win tonight? Yes. Could they force a game six? Yes. Like, I think when you look at it tonight, we have three games tonight, ESPN Radio with the coverage, of course. Celtics and the Heat. Could I see the Heat winning tonight? Absolutely. Can I see the Heat winning the series? Not right now. The Thunder and the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans probably get swept. I think that's where we're heading. And could I see the Lakers winning tonight against the Nuggets? I could. But, like, I keep coming back to what Woj said, where there was no obvious moves that were going to be made. And now, as it's coming into fruition here, now you see a lot of these teams potentially making moves. Because I'm telling you, there's some changing of the guard here in the NBA. With Ant-Man kind of running things now in the West, along with the Nuggets, obviously were the best team, obviously. But Ant-Man's kind of the face in Minnesota. The Thunder are the number one seed.
They're not going away.
I mean, they have what players want and what players need, obviously. Can we reenact that? I keep thinking that we should reenact that commercial. Problem is, I would have to stand on a lot of steps to be the Chet role in that commercial.
Mm. Yeah.
And then when he does like the whole hand thing.
Man.
You're not in on it? You guys
no,
are not in
I'm
on
not
it?
In
it's
man.
Every
not
single pass. Break.
No, we don't have to recreate that. I think we can let that live.
Another thing, Evan, you didn't even bring up Wemby.
Right, and well, no, great point, Smalls. So Wemby's on the way. So some of these veteran-laden teams are going to be beat out now by the young teams, where I actually think you have to find a way of either being so deep or taking your top-level stars and almost downgrading them a little bit to second-level stars. But I don't know how you get the higher-ups. How do you get someone that makes Kevin Durant a second-best player? How do you get Embiid to be the second-best player? How do you get LeBron and AD to be the second and third-best players? That's hard to do.
It is hard to do, but I know that LeBron James is probably already thinking about this. We know he thinks steps ahead all the time, even though he's obviously still playing basketball. You know he's probably thought about what he wants to do, or at least strongly suggest to the Lakers that they do moving forward. But I think the Lakers owe it to not only LeBron James, but to themselves to try and put the requisite talent around him as long as they can and as long as he's playing. This is still a guy at this stage in his career who's the best player on the floor some nights and is the best player on this Lakers team, and they owe it to him to in this last stage of his career give him a shot to win another one.
Yeah, in his age 21 season, LeBron James is still good enough to be the best player on a championship winning team.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. I absolutely believe that.
Really?
I absolutely believe that.
I do too.
I absolutely believe that.
In LA with the Lakers?
Yeah, I just think it's about what's around him. It's the others that have to be better. It's a team game, right? Like, it can't just be LeBron and AD and then just a bunch of Jags. But that's what the Lakers are rolling out there right now. It's just a bunch of Jags. Those guys that we thought were going to take that next step based on how they played in the playoffs last year, they haven't. So at this point, I think the Lakers can look at it with a clear eyes, be sober-minded about it, and make the requisite moves and take that big swing. They have to go out there and get another guy. They need that. Now, the question becomes, of those teams – In the Western Conference that have those aging stars, like, who's going to be the team that creates that destination that somebody else wants to come join? Because that's the biggest question that I have for LA. Like,
is what or the other way. Who's going to be a team that blows it up and says, we don't have a shot anymore?
But I think that'll be based off of what happens this summer and whether or not they can recruit another player to join right. the core of players they already have. Like, I'm thinking about the Lakers, but I'm also thinking about the Golden State Warriors. Like, think about that. Like, the Golden State Warriors are another one of those teams that are like, hey, Klay Thompson's contract is expiring. We're probably going to be retooling this thing around Steph and Draymond. Who's the star that we can fit in alongside those guys to contend at a championship level? In a lot of ways, the Lakers and the Warriors are looking for the same thing.
And the Suns.
Yeah, and the Suns.
The Suns don't have the flexibility.
The Suns don't have the way to add.
But here's the thing. You just brought something up that's really interesting. So by saying we have all these veteran-laden teams that are going to be bounced from the playoffs over, let's say, tomorrow, we're going to be sitting here and say over the last 48 hours, veteran-laden teams are either bounced from the playoffs or not making it all like Golden State. Someone may see value in blowing the whole thing up.
Yes.
I don't know which someone it's going to be, but someone may see that value. All right, coming up, CC has his best bet. I have the unsportsmanlike moments. But first, we have La Quinta Smalls that maybe we get all the Knicks fans that are going to travel staying in a La Quinta hotel if you're on a business trip, like the business of rooting for your basketball team. And you know what completely goes off the rails? What could really hurt you? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. That's lame. If you just stay at a La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. I'm chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, I'm going with the Captain Obvious play tonight for our best playoff basketball, NBA. Oklahoma City, break out the brooms. They're going to sweep the Pelicans tonight. So we're going to take OKC on the money line. And we're going to take SGA over 26.5 total points. That two-leg parlay pays out at plus 126.
We survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, we had a lot of good ones from over the weekend here. Unsportsmanlike moments. This comment from Patriots draft pick Javon Walker, who's a wide receiver at a UCF, Central Florida. Okay? He believes in himself, obviously. He said, just come to the home stadium and bring y'all popcorn. That's what I'll say. I make people in wheelchairs stand up. That's an interesting one. I've never heard someone say that before. I make people in wheelchairs stand up.
A pretty good one.
That's makes me a little one. Bit uncomfortable. I got to be honest with
makes
you. But
uncomfortable? That made me uncomfortable. I get what he's saying.
No, everybody understands. I get it too. But yeah. Okay. Yeah. Next
what,
one.
What are we saying? Is that offensive or
no,
something?
No, I'm just saying. It's like that, I've never, not, I've never
that
heard
not
that
politically
before.
Correct?
What was the one on. You said before about the bake the noodle?
Yeah.
That we said? Some fascinating.
It's really going to bake your noodle. Yeah.
Bake your noodle, yeah.
You've never heard that before?
I did today.
Wow.
For the first time.
You've heard that before, Smalls, right?
No, I never heard that either.
Really?
But I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
What was the one that you said recently, Smalls, that we had never heard?
Frost my cookies.
Frost your cookies. And then Hembo from Greeny said, light my rocket.
Nah, that is not in the same category as what me and Smalls are talking about. Nah.
Light my rocket is just, that one is a little sus.
Yeah. All right, next
Very
thing.
Uncomfortable.
So Oklahoma City Thunder forward Jalen Williams, who's really good, had an interesting post-game outfit. Smalls, you are the person that knows fashion better than anyone here. Can you explain to the masses What no. Jalen? Okay.
I'll try, though. Go ahead. Finish.
What he's wearing to his post-game presser.
So it's a ski mask, a black ski mask with a circle, not over the eyes and mouth, but there is a circle that lets you see his entire face, and the circumference, the rim of that circle, is bedazzled. It looks like some silver jewelry, but it looks like he's sticking his face through the peephole of a ship. I really don't understand it. I don't love it.
That is a great way of describing it. He's sticking his face through a peephole of a ship.
I just don't understand. Like, under what circumstances is it acceptable to rock that look? I just don't like his.
I'll tell you. You know what the circumstances are? Rich. You're just rich.
You're just rich and you just
Yeah, but
stuff.
Just because yeah. something costs a lot of money doesn't mean that it's fashionable.
I never said that part. You're right about that. But if you're really going to really dive into what causes that, it's just being rich.
Maybe somebody gave that to you that, you know, they made it themselves and they gave it to you. Say for instance, you had a kid and your kid made that for you and said, hey, I think this would be cool if you wear this, Dad. Maybe.
Okay, if my kids made
those,
me that.
Under those circumstances, maybe. I'm reaching here right now.
Well, you're right, Cece, because we did see Russell Westbrook wear that cashmere sweater with his child's drawing on it.
Yeah.
I understand. Sometimes you can take your child's art and turn it into fashion.
Yeah.
Well, I've never been so happy that my kids are in school right now, because if they were watching or listening to this and got ideas that I then wear that.
I would love that. We got to get a hoodie that's bedazzled for Evan.
That's right.
So
I just
can wear
the same
it on
thing.
Air.
My daughter yesterday.
For Evan.
My daughter yesterday came back from Hebrew school and she said, I made hamburgers in Hebrew school. I said, something doesn't seem right about that. What are you talking about? And it was a drawing. They did like an art project within the Hebrew school, and she made a hamburger. So that's now going to be my shirt tomorrow, a hamburger shirt
there
from my daughter. All right, next one here. So we're looking for reasons that your Lakers stayed alive the other night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the Jamal Murray injury for the Denver Nuggets. You didn't mention one other thing that Michael Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, commented on, because somehow the Nuggets didn't have shoes.
Anything play into like the shoes not being here on time? There was I guess the bus with the shoes was delayed and people are in their slides. And
if you want to, you know, dig into stuff and say, well, we lost because for some strange reason, all of our players didn't have their shoes when they got here for the normal warm-ups. We had guys out there shooting around with flip-flops. Is that ideal? No. But I'm not an excuse guy. And I'm not going to point to the reason we got our butts kicked in the paint because shoes weren't here. I think that's a reach, personally. Is it ideal? No. And hopefully we can figure out and make sure that never happens again. that's no excuses, no explanations. We didn't get the job done. And the good thing about this is we have a chance to go home and try to get back to playing our brand of basketball and an opportunity to close it out in front of our fans.
All right, so the funny thing is, on ESPNU, as we're showing this, it's a split tweet screen, or whatever you want to say with this, of Michael Malone speaking, and the players legitimately warming up. Michael Porter Jr. wearing socks and flip-flops during warm-ups.
Yeah.
Is that a reason for a loss?
No, but I mean, if guys can't warm up properly, you got a guy dealing with a lower body injury from game four, I don't know. I mean, you could draw a line and say maybe that might have something to do with it. I don't know. Anytime you take players out of their routine, though, it throws you off a little bit. And in a playoff game, you know, when the margins are razor thin, like I'm not going to say that's the reason why the Nuggets lost, but, I mean, that could have something to do with it.
All right, last
hey,
one.
Hold on. If you're a member of the Lakers, do you try to find somebody to somehow – do that again, replicate that, intercept
absolutely.
The shoes.
Probably not going to happen in Denver, but, I mean, you try to.
We could go to the locker room. So I'm sure they have many backups, but, you know, just somehow try to mess them up again with that.
Maybe Jontay Porter will be there. He's looking for some side cash, potentially.
Oh, man.
Give him a job to steal the shoes.
Did. Look at what you did.
Just saying. All right, Chris Ballard is the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. They made a phone call for the draft over the weekend, and the guy on the other end didn't believe it was Chris Ballard and the Colts.
Jonah.
Hey, how you doing?
Chris Ballard with the Colts. Welcome to Indy, man. We're drafting you right here.
That's not a prank call, lady.
It's not a prank call, I promise.
Hey, Cole, it's been a stressful day.
I know, and everybody's probably recruiting the crap out of you right now, aren't they?
Yeah, you ain't lying.
No, you can go tell him to
really
kiss your
the
ass. You're coming
part
in.
Of this, that he thought it was a prank. Do you remember who called you for your draft?
Yeah, it's Jerry Jones.
Oh, so you knew it was him.
Yeah.
You didn't have to worry about if it was a prank or not.
No, it's Jerry Jones.
It's a pretty recognizable
voice.
Yeah,
I don't think people can really mock that one or in, you know.
Jamie Foxx does a Jerry Jones impersonation.
Really? It does?
Yeah.
Really?
You actually weren't drafted
really,
by the
can't
Cowboys.
Can't really imitate Jerry Jones.
You weren't drafted by him. Jamie Foxx actually drafted you.
You're right.
Drafted
this ain't any given Sunday. I'm telling you, you can't imitate Jerry Jones' voice. You just can't.
You've tried.
We're all
tried,
in.
But you can't do it to the level where you think that's Jerry Jones on the phone.
Greeny coming up next. We are on to Tuesday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.